Welcome to Zaslow Show 2.0, presented from day one by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. You're dealing with any kind of accident, any personal injury, slip and fall, motorcycle, car accident, bike. Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, 800-747-FREE. That's 800-747-3733. Title sponsors from day number one. No, before day number one of Zaslow Show 2.0, my guys Mark Anajar, Glenn Levine, Ellie Anajar, they believe in me. If you're listening to the show right now and you're dealing with any kind of personal injury, I'm sending you to my friends, Anajar and Levine, Accident Attorneys. You don't have to deal with the insurance companies. You don't have to deal with the medical bills. You need to focus on getting right. That's where they come in. They handle all the stuff that you don't want to be bothered with. You need to make sure you're getting healthy, and they're going to make sure you're getting the money that you deserve. Anajar and Levine, Accident Attorneys, 800-747-FREE. That's 800-747-3733. Proud title sponsors of Zaslow Show 2.0. Welcome aboard. This is Zaslow Show 2.0. Zaslow Show 2.0. It is a Tuesday, the 28th of May. Good to have you aboard, part of the Believe Podcast Network, and presented as always by Anajar and Levine, Accident Attorneys, 800-747-FREE, 800-747-3733. If you're involved in any kind of an accident, hit and run, motorcycle, slip and fall, first you call 911, then you call Anajar and Levine, Accident Attorneys. They will get you the compensation you deserve. Title sponsor of everything Zaslow Show 2.0. That's not by accident. Anajar and Levine, Accident Attorneys, 800-747-FREE, 800-747-3733. Glad to have you guys aboard today. No show yesterday. It was Memorial Day. I still did work. I had Driving the Line yesterday morning. That's the sports betting show. Your sports betting brand of record, that Jonathan Coachman, my pal, that's his venture. You can go to youtube.com/@drivingtheline. Then I did ESPN from noon to 3:30, 3.5 hours yesterday. We did Carlin versus Joe, me and Rob Guerrero, so that was fun. So we had an action-packed day yesterday. And of course, with all the action right now, Bet Online is your number one source for the NBA, NHL playoffs, every stat, every matchup, even live odds while the games are being played. When the game's over, you head on over to, BetOnline's online casino. Get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or you can unwind with some slot games. Head to the website today. Get in on the action. Don't forget, use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. So obviously, we got a great show today. Panthers, Rangers, game four tonight, Amerant Bank Arena. NHL on TNT, all-time great NHL analyst, Darren Panger is going to join us on the show today. That's right, you guys are going to love it. So Darren Pang will join us. We'll get his thoughts on this series so far. He was all over last series. He was between the glass, between the benches. For every game last series against Boston. So, Darren Pang will join us here. We'll have him recap a little bit of Game 3 with us. We'll talk about what to expect Game 4 tonight. We'll find out what's it like. You're in between all the action, in between the benches there during the game. You ever afraid to get hit in the face of the puck? So, we'll get Darren Pang on with us. That'll be a lot of fun. He's excellent. And today's Tuesday, so we'll have another edition of Twitter Jam. Now, I do want to start out with the big news in the sports world over the last 24 hours. So, I'm doing ESPN Radio yesterday, and we kind of had to scrap like half the show because mid-show, like an hour in, mid-show, we get word that Bill Walton has passed away. And so, we got to dedicate now the show to him. We got to go in a different direction. We had Dave Pasch, who currently works or had worked with him college basketball the last 12 years, and who's also on the call tonight on ESPN Radio for the Western Conference Finals. We had Dave Pasch on the show yesterday to talk about Bill Walton. We called up, had Bob Ryan, formerly Boston Globe, to comment about Bill Walton. Bill Walton, of course, great broadcaster, two-time NBA champion. He was the best player in the NBA in 1977. 78, he won the MVP. 77, he won Finals MVP. Portland Trail Blazers. Dr. Jack was the coach in those plaid suits. Oh, he looked so handsome. That was the only championship the Trail Blazers have won. Bill Walton, you could make the case, top two or three all-time college basketball players. So, Hall of Famer, two-time champion, also with the 1986 Celtics. He was not the same player his last 2 years in the league with the Celtics. Injuries, his foot, injuries really ravaged his career. But still a Hall of Famer, because if nothing else, his collegiate career, unbelievable. But still, NBA champion, two times, Finals MVP, regular season MVP, Sixth Man of the Year in 1986 with the Boston Celtics on that champion team. So all-time great career, great career. And it's sad because he, although, like, I made the point yesterday on ESPN Radio, as we're dedicating so much time to the life of Bill Walton, you know, social media, such a cesspool, just vile. But days like yesterday, Twitter is fantastic because you got all this outpouring of emotion and celebration, if you will, honoring the life of Bill Walton, where people are saying all these really nice things about him, and they're adding these incredible clips of Bill Walton as well, which was really fun to be able to rehash and see and watch. That yesterday was one of those days where social media did a good job. Social media is a good thing. You don't have all that negativity. You get to see, you get to relive some of the great things with this guy's life. So that was really cool yesterday. And I'll tell you real quick about Bill Walton. So Bill Walton started like early 90s. His last year in the NBA was 87, I believe. And so early 90s, he becomes a broadcaster for the NBA. NBA on NBC. Him and Steve Snapper Jones. I think Tom Hammond was probably the play-by-play guy back then. And I'm a kid. You know, I'm in my early teens. And I didn't like him. I didn't get it. Because his whole shtick was, you know, everything is the greatest. He was super hyperbolic. That was the greatest pass in the history of Western civilization. And it's like, what are you talking about? What are you saying? I didn't understand it. And then time would go by, and then I became a little bit smarter, and I realized, oh, this is the act. You know, this is his shtick. And then I grew to love it. Same thing, very similar thing happened with me with Dr. Jack Ramsey when he joined the Miami Heat broadcast. Because the first few years of the Miami Heat broadcast, first year was Sam Smith and Eric Reed. You didn't know that, did you? Eric Reed was not the play-by-play guy. It was Sam Smith and Eric Reed. And then it was Eric Reed and Dave Wohl. And then Dr. Jack was hired. So it was Eric Reed and Dr. Jack. Still the greatest duo that Miami Heat have ever had on the television broadcast. And so Dr. Jack joined the team. It was something like maybe like 93, I think, 92, 93. And Dr. Jack joined the team, and I didn't get it. You know, his sayings, you know, crusher, slammer, and I didn't get it. Me and my dad, we didn't understand. We don't like this guy. But then we realized, oh, he's brilliant. He's actually the best. And I had a very similar experience with, you know, with Bill Walton, because back then, you know, broadcasters, and also I was young, so I didn't know a whole lot, but there weren't very many colorful personalities in that way, the way Bill Walton was colorful. And I didn't get it at first. I didn't like him. And then he realized, oh, this guy is amazing. This broadcast is so funny. And so you got a whole lot of outpouring of emotion for Bill Walton over the last 24 hours. And look, I guess it's, you know, it's apropos that the Boston Celtics on the night that he passed away, the Boston Celtics, a sweep, win the Eastern Conference Championship last night. So that's where we'll start here. We're going to do a lot of Panthers, obviously. Last night, the Celtics sweep the Indiana Pacers. I'm not going to spend too much time on it because I want to get to Panger. But and we got Twitter Jam. But the Celtics complete the sweep last night, and which I expected, but it's weird because and by the way, one thing I've been saying about the Celtics, it's not my opinion. They were terrible at closing close games in the regular season. Something like 2-10 or 3-11 in close and late. Well, finally, you had some close games in this series. Yes, obviously an undermanned Pacer team, but you got to give credit. If I'm going to sit here and say the Celtics are not good at closing games, they don't win the close and late, even if the Indiana Pacers gave away games 1 and 3, for sure. And last night, I don't think they gave away last night. They were ahead, but I don't think they gave it away. They gave away game one. They gave away game three. If anything, I would say the Celtics won. Like, if you want to do did the Celtics win or the Pacers lose? Celtics won that game last night. Games 1 and 3, I thought the Pacers lost. You finally got to give a little bit of credit. Even if you're me, I hate the Celtics. Fuck them. You finally got to give the Celtics some credit here for winning close games. I think the Pacers blew two of them, but look, three of these four games were very close. And it's funny because the only series, not that sweeps are so common, but the shortest series the Celtics played here, the only sweep they had was also their closest and most difficult series. That series with Miami, the series with Cleveland, that was not tough. But they both went five games. This series was a sweep. History is not going to look back on this Eastern Conference final fondly. You're going to look at it and say, oh, Celtics sweep the Pacers. This was a really good series. Although, maybe I don't want to say really good series because that would imply the whole thing. And a sweep, can a sweep be a good series? But these were really good games. Games 1, 3, and 4. So, history won't look back kindly on this Eastern Conference final. But this was a good, this was an entertaining series, as it turned out. So, and it's funny because on, what are we talking, Saturday night, right? On Saturday night, I didn't want to watch the game. I mean, this Celtic run, it's been dominant, but also unimpressive. No Jimmy Butler. No Donovan Mitchell. No Tyrese Halliburton these last couple games. Dominant, but not impressive. I didn't even want to watch the game on Saturday night. I had to because, like, oh, I'm hosting primetime on Sunday afternoon. All right, I got to watch him. I'm glad I did. It ended up being a fantastic game. And last night was fantastic also. So even though it was a sweep, this series has been a pleasant surprise. It was a good series. It was. I didn't enjoy the finishes of these games. Jaylen Brown, he wins the Larry Bird Trophy, most valuable player for the Eastern Conference Finals. You saw it there last night, Jaylen Brown gooning it up. It's goon time with Jaylen Brown out there. I'm telling you, he is a dirty, dirty player. When he smacked TJ McConnell in the face, I don't know how that wasn't a flagrant foul. And when you go back and look at the replay, no effort going for the ball. He's staring right at TJ McConnell when he winds up and hits him in the face. Doesn't even come close to looking at the ball. You can see replay, he's staring right at his face when he goes and hits him. He is a dirty, dirty player, Jaylen Brown. It's going to hurt somebody eventually. Yes, I mean, he hurt Duncan Robinson, although he ended up being okay, I think, right? It's going to hurt someone. It's a dirty player, Jaylen Brown. So he wins the conference finals MVP. Tonight, game 4, I think it's a sweep. Mavericks-Wolves tonight. I don't see the Wolves extending this. I know Anthony Edwards after last game, I'm not worried, we're going to be fine. Hey, Ant, somebody better tell you, it's best out of 7, and you're down 0-3. You may want to feel a little bit worried. A little bit. Just a little bit. I think they get swept tonight. It also feels like, you know, most teams have to go through heartbreak before they eventually break through. The Celtics certainly are a good example of that. This feels like the heartbreak the Wolves are going to have to go through before they actually do the winning. And I also should note, because I've been hard on him, and rightfully so, and I don't like Kyrie Irving, and I'm never going to like Kyrie Irving. But, got to be fair. Just like I got to be fair, the Celtics can't win close games. They won 3 close games, even though Pacers blew 2 of them. I got to be fair where I've been very critical of Kyrie Irving, but now you got to point out he's been phenomenal, not just on the floor, but also as a teammate. And, you know, like I saw a picture that they showed the other day because you got the crowd outside wherever they're doing a watch party for Boston last night, and the crowd is chanting, fuck Kyrie, fuck Kyrie. That's last night. That's going to be juicy as hell. If slash when. Because the Mavs are going to win. I think it's tonight. You're going to have Mavericks Celtics in the finals. You want to talk about a juicy storyline. Kyrie Irving against the Boston Celtics. Is there more of a villain move than Kyrie Irving, the way he left the Celtics, the way the Celtic fan hates Kyrie Irving, that he's the one who not only would stop the Celtics from winning a championship, but he would win it himself? That would be bananas. I don't think... I was on Toronto radio this morning. They want to talk Panthers and Rangers, and they asked me a little bit about the NBA because they know I'm an expert. And I told them, listen, I got your next segment for you. Is there a fan base in sports, not just the NBA, is there a fan base in sports, Boston in this case, that hates a player the way they hate Kyrie Irving? I don't think you have to limit it just the NBA. Is there a fan base in sports that hates a player the way the Boston fan base hates Kyrie Irving? I don't think you're going to find one. Celtics Mavericks is going to be juicy as hell. That's going to be big time theater. Big time. So the original point that I was making there about Kyrie, you know, you see clips of in Boston where he's stepping on Lucky, right? And, you know, that's the logo. Hey, you got a stupid name for that stupid leprechaun. But also, it's a microcosm of every time you saw Kyrie Irving in Brooklyn. He looked like a miserable prick. Every time you see him, you just look at the face, a miserable prick. And now you see him in Dallas, and he looks like he's just enjoying life. He looks like a very pleasant dude. And the way he speaks, like, this is a very likable guy. Now, small sample size, it's only this one year. I mean, last year he's thrown out the anti-Semitism, so fuck him. But the difference between that guy and this guy, these are two different people. It's pretty wild. All right, before we continue on here, guys, you know I love telling you about all the good deals out there, you know? And hey, the month of May, it's almost over, which means you still got a little bit of time left to take advantage of the Memorial Day sales event going on right now at North Fort Lauderdale Subaru. Incredible offers on all new Subarus in stock, as well as every pre-owned vehicle on their lot. So easy to find North Fort Lauderdale Subaru. It's that beautiful building. You can see it right off I-95 at the Cypress Creek Road exit. They're at North Andrews Avenue. Whatever you're looking for, car, truck, SUV, every make and model, North Fort Lauderdale Subaru is going to have what you're looking for. What if right now, what if I told you you could lease at North Fort Lauderdale Subaru? You could make zero down payment, make zero payment for 3 months, make zero security deposit, and get 0% APR financing on select new Subarus. Is that something you'd be interested? I mean, come on, what are we talking about? And right now, 0% APR up to 72 months on a Subaru Outback. What if you could lease the 2024 Subaru Crosstrek Limited for just $199 a month for 36 months with $59.95 due at signing with approved credit, plus 3 years maintenance included? Go to nflsubaru.com. That's nflsubaru.com for full details. North Fort Lauderdale Subaru. Don't miss the Memorial Day sales event. North Fort Lauderdale Subaru, the location you know with an experience you'll love. So, we'll get to Darren Payne coming up in a moment here. We got Twitter Jam, of course, coming up. We got line changes for the Panthers tonight. That's right. Paul Maurice. That's my dog right there, Paul Maurice. By the way, I feel great about the Panthers tonight. I'm going to be very nervous because anything can happen. I mean, you're seeing even when your team plays great, which the Panthers have, you can trail 2-1. So I'm going to be very nervous all throughout this game. But I feel great about the Panthers tonight. I was on the air during all of Game 3 on Sunday. I was hosting primetime. Primetime went on the air at 4 o'clock. We were on until 7:30. The game started at 3. So the whole show, I'm trying to be professional. I'm so unprofessional. I'm trying to be professional while doing ESPN Radio primetime. And I got the Panther Game 3 on the TV here in the Zaslow Mansion Network Studios. I'm trying to be professional. I'm trying to be responsible. It was very difficult. I mean, what am I got to keep it real. What am I going to do? But over, so the game ends, Panthers lose in sudden death, which sucks when you're live on the air. It's like, it's so final, and I got to continue on doing the show while trying to absorb, while trying to grasp that the Panthers just lost a game that they dominated. But then I said, I'm like, listen, this shit is hard. If you're going to win the Stanley Cup, if you're going to make a run in any of these postseason tournaments, this shit is hard. You're going to suffer some lows. You're going to suffer highs. You got to pick yourself up off the mat. Let's go. Come on. I feel great about the Panthers tonight. I do. They've played great. Trust the process, you know. If the Panthers play the way they played every game this series, they're going to win tonight. And they're going to win the series. It'll all even out. Like, there's, and I'll ask Darren Pang about it. I don't think there's anything the Panthers need to change. Now, Paul Maurice is changing lines. But as far as how they're playing, keep doing what you're doing. Now, do I think we could see a little bit, like in game one, the Panthers against Boston, where they didn't put enough pressure really on Jeremy Swayman. And then in game two, you saw especially Tkachuk very early in the game. They're getting at Swayman. They're right in front of him. He's being a pest, and you're trying to make him uncomfortable. Panthers scored four goals in game three, but I could see maybe a little bit more of that to try and make Shesterkin a little bit more uncomfortable. I could see that. We'll ask Darren Pang if there's anything else they could do. I'm very confident in this team. It's not like they need to bounce back. They just need to play the way they've been playing. They've dominated this series. Now, I know, and I couldn't tell because I'm watching the game on mute while I'm on the air. Ranger fans were doing a lot of complaining on social media about the penalties. Like, were those penalties not the referee, like the stunk? They were calling too many penalties on the Rangers. Based on, again, I'm watching on mute. I thought it was legit. I could obviously be wrong because I'm watching the game on mute and I'm a little bit distracted doing primetime. And then you have the Jacob Trouba, Rangers captain penalty. If I had to put together, like, I'm live on the air, I see people like, oh, that is a major, that is definitely a major penalty. If I were to put together a tape and show people what a major penalty looks like, I would show Jacob Trouba elbowing Evan Rodriguez in the head. That's a major penalty. They didn't call a major. Well, they called a major because then you could review it. And they took it down to 2 minutes. It ended up being a double minor because he committed two penalties on that shift right there. Because it was already a delayed call. And I don't understand. And so he didn't get suspended. And he got fined $5,000. Like, what a nothing burger penalty for Jacob Trouba there. Now, I'm not sitting here and complaining. I'm not. I thought it was a major. Got away with it. Okay, fine. That's how it goes in the playoffs. But I'm especially not complaining about it because the Panthers, they got a double minor. And granted, 5-minute major is a lot different from a 4-minute double minor. It's a lot different. But they got a double minor, and the Rangers scored a shorthanded goal. Like, the Panthers blew it there anyway. That was the game right there, it turned out. If the Rangers did not score a shorthanded goal there, A, the Panthers probably win the game, and B, then I'm probably complaining that he didn't get a major penalty. But for me, like, the Panthers blew it, giving up that shorty there. So I'm not complaining about the Trouba hit. Is there any carryover? Hey, after the game, the Panthers, it was, I don't know which players it was. It was like Zapruder film from the upper deck, where you had a couple Panthers who skating off the ice, and the Rangers are skating on to celebrate, where they slashed and they were mixing it up with Matt Rempe, the big guy for the Rangers. I'm not sure what that was about. It could have been just retaliation to Rempe's penalty he took earlier in the game. It was a dirty penalty. I forget who it was, but grabbed him by the head. He got called for roughing. I think that's all that was. We'll ask Darren Panger about it. But we got a few lineup changes here for the Panthers. Number one, most notable, the fourth line. Kevin Stenlin is still centering. He's probably our best penalty killer next to Barkov. And in are Steven Lawrence and Kalaposo. Out, Ryan Lomberg, Nick Cousins. So that change was made back in Game 6 against Boston. Those guys have been next to Stenlin for that game and the first three games of this series. So he's going to shake it up. Lawrence and Oposo, who I thought were very good early on in the series against Boston, they're back on the wings next to Kevin Stenlin. And I believe that Paul Maurice changed these lines in the third period of last game, which, of course, the Panthers had a great third period. I mean, they outshot him like 100-10 for the game. But great third period. Scored two goals there. My dog, Gustav Forsling. Barkov got his first goal of the series, I believe it was. He changed the lines there, and he's sticking with it. So here's what we got tonight. Top line, Barkov centering for Hagee and Reinhardt. I mean, you want to talk about a loaded top line there. Second line, Sam Bennett is back center in the second line. Matthew Tkachuk and Evgeny Rodriguez on his wings. I believe that was the line for the first half of the season, right? Especially before they traded for Tarasenko, where Rodriguez was on that second line center by Bennett along with Tkachuk. Third line, Anton Lundell is centering Itu Loisirinen and Vladimir Tarasenko. It'd be nice if Tarasenko showed up a little bit this series, all right? So there you go. The big changes. New wingers on the fourth line. Barkov now centering Verhaeghe and Reinhardt. Bennett centering Tkachuk and Rodriguez. Lundell centering Loisirinen and Tarasenko. Gotta get this game. Gotta do it! Come on now! Let's go! Now, no matter what happens in the Panther game tonight, I'm going to sleep great tonight. You know I love sleeping on my Sheets and Giggles bed sheets. That's right. Sheets and Giggles, the softest, coolest, most breathable sheets out there. You go to SheetsGiggles.com, you're going to become permanently one of over 100,000 Americans who sleep on Sheets and Giggles sustainable eucalyptus sheets, mattresses, and pillows rated best overall by Good Housekeeping. I sleep on Sheets and Giggles. Both my boys sleep on Sheets and Giggles. They've been a great sponsor on Zaslow Show 2.0 for over a year now. And if you go to SheetsGiggles.com, no matter what you order, how much or how little you order, if you use promo code Zaslow, Z-A-S-L-O-W, you'll get 20% off your first order. That's right. SheetsGiggles.com. Use promo code Zaslow. 20% off your first order. You'll thank me later. You're going to get the best sleep of your life. SheetsGiggles.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
All guests on Zaslow Show 2.0 brought to us by the official beer of the program, Johnny Cuba. European roots with that Caribbean soul, a refreshing German lager in a can. Pick up a six-pack of Johnny Cuba. That's how you can enjoy tonight. Game 4, Panthers, Rangers. Make sure you always drink responsibly. And, of course, don't forget Johnny Cuba's mantra. Stay tranquilo. Darren Pang joining us here ahead of Game 4. You are catching him between the glass, between the benches, NHL on TNT. Appreciate you hanging out with us here, Panger. First up, I got – what is it like – now, look, you've been doing it for years, of course, but do you ever get used to being in between the benches, pucks flying at you? I remember there was one play, the sticks are flying at you because there was a little scrum in front of you. Do you ever get used to it?
You know, it's good to be on the show and looking forward to the game tonight. You know what? It's exhilarating down there, to be honest with you. I try to tell, you know, anybody that's new that's down there that it's been a place that is honored now, you know, like it's special to be down there. And I think we've got to treat it as such, because the one thing that I get out of it is that it's still the player's domain down there. And there's sometimes, if I know a player on one side, you know, really likes to chirp at the other bench and you know, and I'm in between and it's between breaks or whatever, I'll actually see who's there and step back a little bit, you know, to give them their space a little bit. Like, let's just say it's Ryan Lomberg's, you know, to my left, like the Boston series, in Boston you know, maybe it's a Patty Maroon to the right. And I know they want to go at it a little bit. Well, I don't want to be right in the middle because they can't see each other, even though I'm a little guy. So you kind of take a step back and you let the boys go at it a little bit. And then that's what gets the game. That's what's special about our game is that is the angst between players, or players just trying to stir the pot a little bit, or try to get in the other guy's kitchen a little bit. And I enjoy that part of it, but I always, you know, you just try to remember that you got to, you know, let the boys, you know, play their game as well. And then try to, you know, try to let the fans know what's happening without giving away too many details, because again, that's their cherished spot as well, being on the bench and chirping at the other guy. So I don't want to throw them under the bus, but you want to share it with the fans, you know?
Right. That part I wonder about, because look, you're a reporter in this spot. So where do you draw the line on letting everyone know exactly what you're seeing and hearing?
Well, I think, and I think I'm more of a, and I don't mean to, I'm more of a game analyst in there, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, I know TNT doesn't do it that way. If you're not a game analyst, you're not between the benches, you know. And in fact, Jackie Redmond's asked me that a few times, because there's place in Dallas where it's a hard place for the analyst to be right there by the backup goalie of the Dallas Stars. And Brian Boucher, in fact, doesn't like going in that spot. And Jackie Redmond asked me about my thoughts of her going there and doing her reports from there. And I this is just my opinion, but you know, I say no. I think that's for a game analyst, and so ESPN, you know, they'll use, they might use Leah Hextall in one of the series sometimes down below, and she's a reporting. Now there's a fine line now. Like, are you reporting on everything that's being said, or are you analyzing the game? You know, and I think that spot was always meant for an analyst down there. You know, one up, one down. I think TSN was one of the first to do one up, one down. And then obviously NBC went on board with that as well. And now everybody's doing it, including local shows. But so getting back to my point, you know, I wouldn't want to report on everything that's said down there because again, they won't do it again. Then like, if we start saying everything that they say, then they're not going to say anything. And we're going to have no angst and no emotion and no passion between the bench. And I think it's important to have that. So I don't want it so that, especially in that second period when they're crossing over, and the line changes can get really, really desperate is the way to say it, because you're trying to get off the ice on a good line change, especially if you're the D. The other team's coming across, you're bumping into each other. A lot of times they'll give you a little shove and keep you off the ice just for that extra split second or two. And maybe they get a chance to get the puck and go the other way, or what have you. So so I think there's a lot of those times where you just, you know, you just stay out of the way. You just analyze the game, and you tell the people why is that second period change so tough, Saz? Why is it that they got in trouble? You know, is it because the forward held onto the puck too long? Was it because they moved the puck in the wrong area where the 2D were trying to get a change? So, I mean, I think that's analyzing the game and being an analyst, you know, and that's the fun part of being down there. So yeah, you always keep your hands up like that, because sticks, guys get hit now and they don't tuck their shoulders in when they get hit. They kind of come across with their stick. So, you know, you might get the tip of the blade or the heel of the stick. And I cracked a few watches along the way. But all in all, it's been pretty good. Haven't, knock on wood, actually, I know my season's done now, but knock on wood, I haven't had anything major happen to me in there.
You'll have to excuse me for not remembering, 'cause it was eight games ago at this point. Were you in between the benches for Tkachuk and Pastrnak?
No, that was in Florida, for the fight, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was not in for that one. I was between the benches for the Bennett hit on Marchand, and a lot of people actually, people have asked a lot of questions about that, and I actually explained to Sam, and I explained to Marchand, but because I never got a chance to talk to him because he was so secretively coming back to the lineup, but you know, I saw the majority of that, but also I was watching. And I have a camera behind me that got blocked out exactly by the stanchion, like exactly at the point that the contact was made with the right hand of Bennett underneath and caught Marchand. That was in the way. My eyes were, I was watching, Sam Bennett was about to ice the puck. So he never got the red line. I was actually explaining that to him. I said, I was watching the puck go that way to see if it was icing. And then as I looked back this way, I saw pop, and I remember just saying, oh boy, you know, Marchand just got popped by Bennett. And I said, I think it was his glove. And that's as much as I could really see on my angle. And then obviously the production trucks have a melt and they found another reverse angle that showed what everybody saw just prior to the game. And that was a higher angle. And that was, boy, you could, you know, you guys saw it. You could see it quite clearly. But that was, I mean, that was a good series to be in. I'll be honest with you. There was a lot going on. Every time you turned around, there was a goalie interference call. Wasn't there a goalie interference call? There was a, you know, there was a play where Lauko went into the goaltender, went into Bobrovsky, but, you know, Ekblad was kind of pushing him in. You know, one guy got a call, one guy. So we were in the middle of a real good, interesting, intense conversation of a game. So I do enjoy that part of it. It keeps you on your toes. You got to be real sharp in there because, you know, your eyes have got to be on it, and then you've got to have the confidence to say what you got to say. And some teams don't like it, and some teams do like it. It does, you know.
I feel like we're in that place now with this series going into game four tonight and where the teams don't like each other now. Like, I was surprised in game one, I think the first scrum after the whistle came in like the middle of the third period. It's like, wow, this has been a very clean game. I feel like we're now at the point where it's going to start to get ugly. And so let's talk about what happened with Jacob Trouba last game. You know, look, I was on ESPN at the time. I was doing radio, so I had the game on mute on my television here. So I didn't get to hear all the thoughts and opinions about the Trouba hit and what took place. But I'm watching that. I'm like, wow, if I were to put together film of what a major penalty looks like, that would probably be on the tape. What was your thought there? What happened there?
I think a lot of things happen in that type of play. And when you slow it down to super slow-mo, which isn't really fair to the referees and everybody else, but and even the fans and their opinions, but you're obviously seeing a player, you know, lunge out with either the forearm, you know, elbow coming out, you know, I guess the proper way to say it is, I mean, Jacob Trouba is, you know, trying to get a piece of him, you know, and it looks worse because of the angles and the falling and the leaning out, because it's not a typical hockey play. It's not something that we see every day. You'd see a player having balance and leaning into him, because Jacob Trouba he's known as an excellent hitter. He's probably one of the best stand up, close gaps, you know, open ice hitter in the league. That makes him a dangerous player, because if you got to keep your head up around him. That one didn't look great. I mean, it didn't pass the eyeball test for a lot of reasons. And it's because it was a, you know, that motion of coming up like that. So I think the referees are starting to get not the hang of this, but they want to get it right. So you call a major, and once you call a major, then you can go back. So, I mean, there's a lot of details go into these kind of hits, and I'm not one to just sit back and say that, hey, the guys in Toronto, there's 10 guys sitting in an office with huge monitors and super slow-mo. They're, before it even gets to the referees going to the penalty box, these guys have already watched it, you know, for probably 4 minutes, and they've rewound it. They've looked at it. So they're ahead of the game when they're looking at it. So if their opinion was that the actions, you know, weren't as bad as what they looked, and they figure out that there's a balance problem or falling forward or another player's going down lower, you know, who might argue with that? But I could see that if I had skin in the game, you know, you're working for, let's say I was with the Florida Panthers and I'm watching that kind of play, and it happened three times in the series, and you're seeing the same play happen, you know, then you're kind of like, whoa, okay, what's going on? Like, it's just like Bob, like for every time there's goalie interference on Bob, the two times against Tampa Bay, you know, Toronto's now looking at that a little bit closer. You know, oh, is that really goalie interference? Is he dropping his stick at the same point every single time? Is he maybe selling it a little bit more than we would like? Because there's a lot of controversy on that. So you know what I mean. No matter where you look, there's going to be a magnifying glass, and there's going to be scrutiny on every single call in every situation, because you're seeing the same players over and over and over again. And so it becomes so repetitive. You get to see these players. And if the same player, again, is doing the same thing a lot, if the same player is embellishing a trip, you know, and that's happening five times a game, the NHL is looking at it going, okay, boys, put a mark on that guy. Like, let's stop this, okay, because we're going to be the ones looking bad at the end of the day. But again, I would have to think that Jacob Trouba is going to have to get the hands in a little bit tighter. And next time he makes a hit, even though it's a different situation than that hit, you know, he's going to have to be tucked in, and everything's going to have to be for him, you know, obviously a cleaner look. But the same thing with Rempe, you know, what Rempe early in the year, every time he went to hit somebody, he's a gangly guy, 6'8" or 6'9", and his hands go all over the place. And he personally told me, he goes, man, I got to get my hands tucked in, you know? And I said, well, that's good. Cause if you want to play in this league and not go to the penalty box, you do have to get your hands tucked in. And so maybe that's the theme of this one here, tuck in the old elbows, tuck in the hands and just hit with the, hit clean and hit with the shoulders.
Sorry to break up the conversation here, guys, but I want to make sure that you got the best homeowners insurance out there. And that's why I direct you to Brunt Insurance. I've been getting my homeowners insurance from Brunt Insurance for about 10 years now. And I keep going back. I keep going back. I keep renewing because I know I have the most comprehensive coverage out there. And I'm getting it at the most affordable rate there is. You know, some of you guys, you're listening now on the west coast of Florida. God forbid you got some damage to your home because of the storm yesterday. Brunt Insurance, 954-589-2204, or you go to bruntinsurance.com. And yes, anywhere in Florida, Brunt Insurance has you covered. They have locations all throughout the state. So you could be calling from Pensacola or all the way down to the Keys and beyond. Greg Brunt and his team at Brunt Insurance, his fully licensed staff, they have the expertise, they have the experience, they know what area you're calling from. So they're going to know exactly what type of coverage you need, what kind of policies you have to make sure you have. Hey, that also includes trailers and motorhomes. Let the team at Brunt Insurance help you learn more about your policy options so you're making an informed decision that's not going to keep you up at night. And you don't even have to own your home. Renter's insurance, condo insurance, all the options out there. It can make your head spin. Brunt Insurance specializes in making the confusing crystal clear. When you call 954-589-2204, you're making the right call. Bruntinsurance.com, the only insurance agency that I'm going to send you to. I don't know if you saw the clip. It's grainy video from like the upper deck in Amarin Bank Arena where after when the Rangers are jumping onto the ice to celebrate the winner, and a couple Panthers, I didn't even see who it was, because like I said, it's a pretty grainy video. They stick-checked Rempe. They were not happy with him. The game's over. Was that in response to the penalty that Rempe took? Like, is that what happened there, that they were angry about that?
Yeah, I mean, there could be a couple of other situations. He didn't play a whole lot after that. So, I think it was Matthew. Whoever posted it, circled it, and put their names in it. So, I think they just end of the game, went over there to make sure that they said something to him. And it wasn't it wasn't a major deal. That kind of stuff happens more than you think after a game. And it could be a whack in the ankle or it could be a whack in the pants or something to get their attention on it. But at the end of the day, the bottom line is I thought the Panthers played a heck of a game. And I thought they did everything technically. I thought structurally, I thought both teams played a real good game. But Florida was a better hockey team. They had more ozone pressure. They had better scoring chances. But that's what I love about hockey. We have a common denominator, and it's called the goalie. And how many times have we seen it? I remember going back to the 1996 final that I was working at for ESPN and ABC, and John Van Beesbrouck, one of the sole reasons why the Panthers were even in that final, and that's what makes the game great. And you can feel it when your goalie's on a roll. So what Matthew Tkachuk and the Panthers are going to have to focus on is they're going to have to outwork the goalie. And that's it's a common saying. How do you outwork him? Anything on the crease, anything around his feet. You have to have a quick stick to make sure that he can't get up any loose rebounds, anything around there, and basically outbattle the goaltender who's battling and in a pretty good rhythm right now for the New York Rangers. So
I feel really good.
Been a good series.
Yeah. Oh, I've enjoyed it. I thought game three was a fantastic game, even though, I mean, look, I was bummed at the end. I feel really good about the Panthers tonight because I think they played great this series. And you know what? I've referenced this on the show a few times over the last week where I thought you made an excellent point when you were in between the benches in game four last round. The Panthers are down 2-0 at the Bruins. The crowd's going crazy. And you're talking about how the Bruins bench, they're chirping, they're excited, they're into it. The Panther bench, they're the exact same as they've always been. It's businesslike. They don't get fazed. And of course, the Panthers came back. They won the game 3-2. I thought it was an excellent point you made there for everybody. And that's how I feel going into tonight. This team, they're even keeled. They don't get shook, you know?
You are exactly right. I think that's our job between the benches is tell the people, you know, where the bench is, because I also did game seven last year in Boston. You know, the Panthers win in game seven. And there was a couple of points in the game where I could feel things change confidence wise. And one play in particular, a couple of Bruins were actually, they're going at it about a play that happened on the ice. And it was a second period. Yeah, it was second period because the Bruins were to my right. And Brandon Montour identified that and he saw that. And he went right over to their bench and he basically was giving it to the Bruins players for getting on each other. And I just remember thinking to myself, what a great pickup that was by Brandon Montour, number one, because he's watching, he's listening, and he's and the D are on that side. So they're closest to me for that line change, and Bobrovsky was over to my right. And it was just one of those little things in the game where I saw not a confidence change because of that moment of Brandon Montour, but I saw a team kind of getting frustrated. The fans were starting to, they weren't booing yet, but they were getting frustrated. There was no energy in the crowd. And Boston's bench was very, very quiet. And at that point, I could see it. And I shared that information about the Florida Panther bench. Well, the same thing in that series, again, in game four, Florida's bench has always been very even keeled, very much the same. And whether they're up or whether they're down, there's not a hush on their bench. It's actually very good. It's a very well-organized bench, and the players take a lot of ownership and accountability on that bench. So when you mention that point, because they're on the road as well, you know, it's a quiet, you know, it can get quiet and you can hear them, but Boston's bench and their crowd, because they haven't won big games at home, going back to 2000, I'll go back to the years. I think it was 2013 against Chicago in the final. Hawks scored two late goals, and it was a devastating loss for the Bruins. Chicago went on to win the cup. Then in 19, at home, game seven, you know, they lost to St. Louis. And then they lost last year in game seven. So, you know, those are important moments. Now, they did win a huge one against the Toronto Maple Leafs on that great Pastrnak goal. But, you know, you go to it. So that's what I'm watching. Are they getting tentative? Are they getting nervous? Is the crowd feeding off their nervousness? Because as a player, you can feel all of what I just said. And so that's very interesting. But Florida doesn't change. And I think that's why they're a real good team, no matter what the score is. They don't go away. They just keep going and coming at you. And that's why they win a lot of games when they're trailing, even if it's late in a hockey game. They manage that emotions, and they manage that energy really, really well. They're an impressive team to watch, for sure. And I wish last year, to be quite honest with you, that Matthew Tkachuk didn't get hurt, because I think we would have seen a much different Stanley Cup final than really it wasn't as competitive as we all anticipated it was going to be last year.
Yeah. One more for you here, Panger. We're all super excited about the game tonight. I don't know that the Panthers need to change anything. I think they played so great. Do they need to change anything? I mean, I know you already mentioned, get in front of Shesterkin, maybe give him some problems right in front of the crease there, make things difficult for him. Is there anything they need to change going into tonight?
Actually, no. Unless there's something technical that Paul comes up with, which the coaching staff, they're excellent. They do a great job of getting themselves prepared. But I think if you just watch it afterwards, and you know, I'm at my lake house in Michigan, and I've got a bunch of people come by. We watch the game, and you're not paying full attention. So the next morning, I'll just watch it again, little parts of the game, and I'll say one. There's only one area that cost them the hockey game. I don't know if you guys broke it down at all, but the one area wasn't anything structurally. It wasn't anything quality chances. It wasn't their passing. It wasn't their – it's all good. Bob froze a puck that was an almost icing play, and he ends up freezing it. It ends up getting a faceoff in their own zone. That faceoff ended up being lost, and the puck ended up being in the net. And so it's something as simple as that. And I don't know if you go back on it, you'll see that if it's an icing play and the goalie, it's on net, so the goalie covers it, then the home team can't change their players. So I went back to look at it. It wasn't icing, but it was really close to the point where I think Barkov and the Panthers thought that it was. So did they have to stay on the ice, or could they get a change? So there's a little delay. There's a little milling about. And then Barkov went off for a change, and Rodriguez came on the ice. So a lefty versus a righty taking the faceoff, a lost faceoff, puck ends up going in the net. So is there one thing I could say? Bob, play the puck. Don't cover it up if you can play the puck, because those faceoffs in your own zone can become incredibly important and sometimes devastating. And it was that whole sequence was because of that.
That's so cool what you just said there. Like, there's so many little things about the game that maybe everybody doesn't notice that I love hearing about. Like, my son and I, we were at game 5 against Tampa in the first round where the Panthers closed it out, and the Panthers got a shorthanded goal because, and I'm explaining to him after the goal, do you understand why this just happened? The Lightning, they were offside. The Lightning iced the puck, which is so rare on a power play. So the Panthers got the faceoff in the Lightning zone. They won the faceoff, and then we scored off the clean faceoff win. All of that happened because of one error on the other side by the Lightning. Like, little things like that I love about the game.
That you're exactly right. The little things. And then, you know, the other thing was, you can see Bob right away. I mean, he's pointing to the glove. So I know they reviewed it, but you know, if that puck goes off of the glove in front of the net, then it's I mean, there are situations where
it's
a goal.
Not intentional?
Right. A puck deflected off the glove. It's a real fine, minute line here. I've seen games where a puck, you know, if a player makes the motion like that, it looks like he's using his hand or his glove to punch it in the net. Now, he might not be meaning to. Maybe he's meaning to get it right off the shaft of the stick right there. But right away, Bob was pointing to that, the glove. And you could see that it went off the shaft and then maybe the finger and then into the net. But that it was the right call made, but I could see why Bob was thinking that it was punched by the glove, which would, I think it would be no goal if it went cleanly off his glove just because of the motion that was made at that point. But that would have been that's something else. The little things too, that the goalie sees that other guys don't see. Nobody else saw it. Nobody else went to the referee and pointed to the glove except for him. But
Darren, excellent job. Of course, he gets to enjoy the rest of the postseason like us. His duties are done with for the season. NHL on TNT. Enjoy the game tonight. I think we got a long series, and hopefully hopefully you enjoy it just as much as hopefully we enjoy it. Darren, thanks so much for your time. I always appreciate it.
My pleasure, Zaz. Take care and enjoy the game tonight. See ya.
Excellent job by Darren Pang. He was really good. I got to tell you, I'm very excited for tonight. I am. Like, I'll be really nervous when the game's going on, but I'm staring at the clock. I'm counting down the hours, the minutes. I'm very into this game. It's like, come on, do it, Panthers. Let's go. Can't go to the game tonight because, oh my God, the cheapest ticket to get in is like $250. And remember, for me, it's $250 times three. I could probably get away with just taking one of my boys, but it's at least two tickets. Can't just go myself or, you know, if I wanted to go with a friend. No, I have to take at least one of my boys. So I already told you guys, I think I announced it on Twitter yesterday. I'm trying to go to the game. Everybody knows what that means. I'm not expecting to. We'll be watching it on the Zaslow Mansion Family Room couch. Not in my underwear, okay? Because if I'm in my underwear, I'm too comfortable. That's a serious room. That will be a serious room tonight. You guys know what I'm talking about. All right. You guys know what time it is. It's Tuesday. Let's get to Twitter Jam. All right, so this week's edition of Twitter Jam is a funny one, all right? Do you guys know who Angel Hernandez is? Angel Hernandez, longtime Major League Baseball umpire, the drizzling shits. I mean, the worst umpire. He is out. He is retiring. We know that he's been forced out. Apparently, a settlement has been reached with Major League Baseball. This is what happens. Look, I'm not going to poo-poo unions, all right? But this is what happens when you're a part of the union. You could be awful at your job forever, and there's nothing they could do about it. Well, finally, they must have offered him some type of money. I mean, Major League Baseball must have been wanting to get rid of this Angel Hernandez forever. He has been the drizzling shits for years. And finally, this longtime national nightmare as far as baseball goes. Angel Hernandez, he's done. He's gone. No more. And it's not one of those deals where, like, no one thinks Angel Hernandez was a good umpire. Everyone knows he was horrible. It's not like in the NBA where, you know, oh, Joey Crawford, he was terrible. No. Joey Crawford was an excellent official. Even now, Scott Foster. Scott Foster's a good referee, you know. But even the bad ones, all right, there's plenty of people who think that they're good enough. With Major League Baseball, you could see if it's an actual strike or a ball. The way that he threw guys out for no reason, Angel Hernandez was the drizzling shits. So, today's Twitter Jam is reaction and some funny clips from Angel Hernandez's career. All right, this first post is Rob Fox III. Who is he? He's a podcaster and he's a writer. Okay, let's see what he's got to say. He says, and this is in reaction to Angel Hernandez retiring. People really don't talk enough about how Angel Hernandez, arguably the worst MLB umpire of all time, tried to sue MLB for racism for not assigning him to playoff games, and in court, the MLB just wheeled out a TV and showed how dog shit he was at his job. That's amazing. I did not know that. This next tweet is from Umpire Auditor. All right, you could guess. I mean, they show you the worst calls of the day every day. And they tweet out here, from the bottom of my heart, thank you, Angel Hernandez. You gave me more content than I could have possibly dreamed of. I didn't deserve you. Enjoy your retirement, King. Yep, there you go. Here is Jimmy Traina. He's a media writer for SI Now. And he tweets out here, never forget that Angel Hernandez once damn near gave Hawk Harrelson a stroke. Hawk Harrelson, former play-by-play guy on the TV side for the Chicago White Sox. And here's the clip of a play actually against the Miami Marlins.
Uh-oh. Can't get him. Oh, no! No!
He was safe at first.
No! No!
Well, Angel Hernandez blew the call, and the infield being back should have cost him the game. It didn't. Right there, he's safe.
He is
does
safe.
Not have the ball.
And another blown call by Hernandez.
This next tweet is from Baseball History Nut. All right, they're a Baseball History Nut. They got a couple hundred thousand followers, all right. They tweet out here, could this be the last Angel Hernandez blunder? Don't let the door hit you on the way out. And here is a clip from the last game that he umpired behind the plate, which I believe was May 9th.
He's saying it's a strike?
Yes, he's saying that he swung, and that's why he called it a strike.
No, see, that's
just...
He didn't swing.
At all.
That is wild. Now, watch this again.
Watch the barrel. There's no way he can call that a swing. Unbelievable.
All right, this next tweet here is from an account called Just Mets. And it's your daily go-to for Mets analysis. And here they tweet out, in honor of Angel Hernandez retiring, here's a clip of Gary Cohen and Ron Darling, that's the radio crew, roasting him. And here is actually a game in Miami, Mets at Marlins, where Brian Anderson gets called out on strike three.
Seventh pitch of the at-bat coming from May to Anderson. And it's on the outside corner, and Anderson protests. And you can understand why. Ball appeared maybe to be low and outside, but Angel Hernandez rings him up, and that's the first out in the bottom of the ninth.
Well, it's not an official game until Angel plays a big part in it.
Angel, devil.
Boy.
That's a tough one to call. Wow. May got a break. And that's two baseballs outside.
Next tweet is from Barstool Sports. Angel Hernandez is retiring from baseball. Thankful for all the memories he gave us. And here Barstool Sports attaches an at-bat of Angel Hernandez just being awful.
2-1. And, oh my goodness. 2-2. You have got to be kidding me. What in the world? We've just completely lost it here.
This is just bad. Three consecutive pitches well off the plate. Catcher's having to move the glove back a foot to try to frame that thing. I mean, that's just so obvious.
All right, I got two more for you. I saved the two best for last, all right? This tweet here is from something called Morale Supply Company. It's something involving Chicago. I don't even think it's sports-related, but obviously they're huge Cubs fans. And this is a very famous clip, all right? This is going back years ago. Angel Hernandez is the home plate umpire. I mean, this has got to be 30 years ago. Angel Hernandez is the home plate umpire. This game is in Chicago. And, you know, the seventh inning stretch, some famous person always comes out and sings Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Well, here is Steve Mongo McMichael, former WCW wrestler, but more importantly, Super Bowl champion with the Chicago Bears. Unfortunately, he's very sick right now. He's in very, very bad shape. He's suffering from ALS. But here is Steve Mongo McMichael doing Take Me Out to the Ball Game and just lighting up Angel Hernandez, who can't do anything about it except stare.
Mongo's home, Chicago! And don't worry, I'll have some speaks with that home plate umpire after the game. Ooh. A one, a two, a three. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and print the check. Three strikes, you're out at the old ball.
It's so good. Always doing is just grilling Mongo McMichael the whole time. He can't do shit about it. Think about it. That clip is at least 35 years ago. That's how long Angel Hernandez has been horrible. And finally, the tour de force by CC Sabathia. This is tweeted out by Talkin' Yanks. They talk Yankees. And they tweet out that time CC was brutally honest about Angel Hernandez. And here's the clip.
Angel Hernandez should be umping playoff games. He's absolutely terrible. He's terrible behind the plate today. He's terrible at first base. It's amazing that how he's getting a job to pitch and to play in these, to umpire in these playoff games.
What did you say to him in the first inning?
That's just a conversation for us, but he shouldn't be anywhere near a playoff game.
Is that sentiment shared by many of your teammates?
Everybody, I think.
Everybody.
I think you'll ask them on the other side, too.
Was his strike zone tonight?
It's always. He's bad. I don't understand why he's doing these games.
Yep, there it is. Amazing. And that right there is another edition of Twitter Jam. All right, you guys know what time it is. Oh, let's go Panthers. Come on. Let's get to Big Deal or Not a Big Deal. Big Deal or Not a Big Deal. Always brought to us by our friends at Caneswear. Caneswear is the spot Miami sports fans shop. You get all of the big deals at Caneswear. If you're on your way tonight to Game 4 at Amerant Bank Arena, you stop by Caneswear in Davie. They moved a few months ago, but it's the same plaza, same great experience, even bigger selection. Caneswear in Davie, 2655 South University Drive, just south of 595 on the west side of University. Pick up the latest Florida Panther gear on your way to the game. Obviously, you got the most Hurricanes gear you're going to get anywhere, but also Miami Heat, Inter Miami. Hey, Messi and Inter Miami are home tomorrow night. Stop by Caneswear or shop online, caneswear.com. Hats, t-shirts, everything you're looking for from all of our favorite local sports teams. Caneswear is the spot, South Florida sports fans shop. Let's get to Big Deal or Not a Big Deal. So, want to pay some more tribute here to Bill Walton. Bill Walton passing away yesterday, 71 years old, after a battle with cancer. Here's Mike Greenberg on Get Up This Morning, talking about one experience he had with the great Bill Walton.
There was a day that Bill called in to do his regular appearance, and our segment was about 11 minutes long. And he told our producer, Liam Chapman, just tell Mike and Mike to introduce me. Go do whatever they want. And he talked for 11 minutes. And I think he did it without, I'm not 100% sure he took a breath. He most certainly did not use notes. And in those 11 minutes, he talked about everything from the Grateful Dead to basketball and absolutely everything in between. He was a unique person. And if you're lucky in your life, when you are around people like that, you can learn from them. You can take things from them that make you better. It's a very valuable lesson for young people. And the lesson that you learn from Bill Walton is that this is not a dress rehearsal. We get one shot at thing, and he did absolutely everything you could do. So, Bill, we loved you. We will miss you, and we will never forget the many laughs and the many lessons that we learned. So those are my thoughts on Bill Walton.
That's obviously a big deal. It's funny because yesterday, doing primetime, the producers of Carlin versus Joe, actually producer Greeny, or who were working with me yesterday, and they actually told me that story yesterday. That's a big deal. Dave Pasch, who we had on yesterday on primetime, but also had been working side by side with Bill Walton the last 12 years doing college basketball on ESPN. Here's Dave Pasch telling a Bill Walton story.
It was all spontaneous. He never told me he liked it that way. He I think, viewed it as I was, in a way, his competition, and it brought him back to his playing days where he would just, he didn't want to talk to me at all before the game. We never rehearsed anything, so I never knew what was coming. And I just remember the last game we did together, February 1st, we're doing a game at USC, and I bring, George Lucas comes up somehow, and I said, yeah, how was your audition for Chewbacca? And not only did he go with it by saying he auditioned and didn't get the part, but he then said that Chewbacca basically was fashioned in his image, and that the character was created after Bill. And we totally made the story up, and all of a sudden, like, People Magazine, all of these Hollywood reporters are writing stories, and they're finding old George Lucas quotes about how actually Chewbacca was not created in the image of Bill Walton, but he and I just died laughing how people took it so seriously. And that was my most recent memory, because it was the last time I saw him. But there were so many over, you know, the last 12 years, especially 12 games.
Yep, that's a big deal, obviously. Big deal or not a big deal? How about FS1's Nick Wright yesterday afternoon on First Things First? I like Nick Wright. This show's fine. Here's Nick Wright on how Bill Walton inspired him to be a broadcaster.
He might have been an even better broadcaster. And I was telling these guys before the show, when I was a little kid, Bill Walton is who I wanted to be. When I would tell people I want to do broadcasting, and I said I want to talk about the NBA for a living, it was the Walton Steve Snapper Jones combo on NBC that I loved and wanted to do, and I didn't know you had to be a player or a coach to sit in those seats. So many of my memories as a kid growing up, the soundtrack are him and Snapper bickering, you know, playfully with each other, and I remember getting mad, telling my mom that I thought that Snapper Jones was so mean to Bill because I didn't know their friendship. So he is a legendary career over 60 years or 50 years, and truly, truly unbelievable.
Yep, I'm going big deal. And finally, one more for you here. Here's Jay Billis, ESPN college basketball, on his relationship with Bill Walton.
Well, Matt, I'm heartbroken. I grew up in Southern California and grew up with Bill Walton as an idol of mine, and we had a chance to work with him. Just a genuine, beautiful person that always asked about you, and as much as he could talk endlessly and captivate everyone around the table with experiences from his life, that's not what he was about. He was about asking you about yours, and he was genuinely interested. One of the most generous souls I've ever been around, incredibly intelligent, well-read. I think a lot of people later in his career were captivated by his showmanship, but and sometimes that overshadowed, I think, especially for the younger players that he covered, the fact that he may have been the greatest college basketball player of all time.
Mm-hmm.
He was an all-time great pro as well. Injuries certainly affected that. But there was no doubt that it was Bill Walton, and as far as I'm concerned, Bill Walton and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as the two best centers that I've ever seen play. But more than that, and I think eclipsing that, he was an absolutely magnificent, beautiful person that you love to be around at all times, and a fabulous colleague that was more interested in his colleague's success than in his own. And as you know, that's truly unique in this business.
That's a big deal. Of course, all the tributes to Bill Walton yesterday, today. These are all big deals. And that right there is another edition. A big deal or not a big deal, always brought to us where we can always get the big deals on all of our favorite local South Florida sports teams. Caneswear. Go online right now. They'll deliver it right to your front door. Your hats, your t-shirts, men's, women's, for children. Caneswear.com. Caneswear is the spot South Florida sports fans shop. Yes! All right. Tonight's going to determine my mood for the rest of the week. This is how it goes. We start the show tomorrow with the Panthers evening this best-of-seven series at two games apiece. Let's go! Come on! I'm feeling good about it. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us. Thanks to everyone behind the scenes who always puts together a great show. I mean, your hard work is inspiring to me every single day. Today's show brought to you in part by Bet Online. We'll talk to you tomorrow on another edition of Zaslow Show 2.0. Know what that means. Ah, the show is over. What better time now than to go out back with a six-pack of Johnny Cuba. That's right. That's what I look forward to after every show. And now my day's work is done. I got a six-pack of Johnny Cuba. We're talking European roots with a Caribbean soul. I'm going to sit outside by the pool here at the Zaslow Mansion and just enjoy the rest of my day. Having a Johnny Cuba makes me feel like I'm right back in the Caribbean. We're talking a refreshing German lager in a can. You can get it anywhere. Sedano's, Presidente, Winn-Dixie. And right now, you got special holiday prices on six packs of Johnny Cuba. Make sure you pick up your Johnny Cuba merch as well. We got the hot sauce coming up. Johnny Cuba, stay tranquilo because more is always brewing.